In the reading from today's gospel, our Lord speaks about scandal and the occasion of sin. And he warns us with these figures, which while they are in one sense hyperbole, because our Lord is not suggesting that we should mutilate ourselves in order, for example, to avoid, you know, lustful looks, for example. We're not supposed to cut our eyes out. That would be mutilation. So in one sense, it's hyperbole. But in another sense, it actually would be better that we should lose our eye in this life and not commit those sins than to go to hell with both eyes. So our Lord uses very strong language because what is at stake is our eternal salvation. Likewise, our Lord is not suggesting that we take those who scandalize children and put a millstone around their neck and throw them into the sea. But it is true that in terms of ultimate realities and eternal reward and punishment, it would be better for a person who has scandalized children to be thrown into the sea with a millstone around their neck than that they should commit that sin of scandal. So our Lord uses this language in order, of course, to get a point across, and that point is very serious. And that's why when we go to confession, there are three acts of the penitent. And the first, which consists of our confession of sins, requires us to be honest and to recognize what is held in the balance, and that we can't fool God, we can't lie to God, we can't ultimately deceive him. We don't go to confession to please the priest. We go to confession to please God. And while, you know, the priest may not know our hearts, God does. And sometimes there have been extraordinary cases where the priests do know the heart of the penitent, like St. John Vianney or St. Philip Neri or St. Padre Pio could read hearts, could see and know when people were being honest. I just read a story this morning about St. Philip Neri, and there was a penitent that came to him because his friend had encouraged this young man to go to confession to St. Philip, and he didn't want to go, but he sort of just got squeezed into the situation, and he ultimately went to confession, and he was just telling lies. He confessed a bunch of lies. He didn't really tell him anything that was true because he had no desire to change his life. And Philip Neri put his arm around him and said, "My son, those are all lies. You haven't told me anything that's true." But he said, "Why don't you take care now and make a real confession, and I'll set everything straight for you." And then he poured his heart out to St. Philip Neri and was absolved, and eventually led a very, very good life, was completely converted after that instance. But ordinarily, priests don't have those gifts, and so it's really up to us. We say that when we go to confession, that we are the accused. You know, we are the one on trial, you might say, but we are also the prosecution. We are the accused and prosecution. And the priest is the judge, but the priest is not there to condemn. The priest is there to grant clemency, to grant mercy. But it depends upon our honesty. So that honesty is the first step. And this is why when our Lord confronts us sinners, when he talks to us sinners, he talks to us very frankly about the hard reality of things and what is held in the balance. He doesn't mince words, he doesn't candy coat it. He just says it like it is. And that's what our Lord did in today's gospel. So that first act of the penitent is really honesty, and it's up to us. No one else can do it for us. We have to do it ourselves, and we need to ask for that grace, you know, and God wants us to be free. Confession is difficult. Confession is a humiliation. Confession is a penance. It's meant to be, it's the sacrament of penance. That's what it is. We do penance by confessing our sins to another human being who may be as fallible as we are and perhaps more and more peccable, maybe a greater sinner than we. That's the sacramental order which our Lord himself has established. And it's difficult. But our Lord wants us to be free. And it's the devil who keeps us away from confession. It's the devil who makes us negligent in confession. It's the devil that wants us to be haphazard in our examinations of conscience. It's the devil that wants us to be afraid of being free. The devil wants us to love our slavery or to be so afraid of losing our slavery that we do not take the steps necessary to become free. But what our Lord wants for us is freedom. And I know for a fact, and we read the lives of the saints and the history of the church, and we know that when people have finally come to this realization that they have been liberated. Their experience through confession has been liberation. There was an individual who went to Padre Pio, and again, Padre Pio saw his soul, and as soon as he came into confession, he said, "Get out, you pig, get out." Threw him right out of the confessional. And he could, because he had come like that boy, he had come there just to see who Padre Pio was, and he had heard stories about Padre Pio, and he wanted to see if they were true. So he went in, and he was prepared to lie in the confessional. Padre Pio threw him out. And he was disturbed by it. Suddenly he was taken back, and he approached Padre Pio later on the day, and Padre Pio put up his hand, said, "Talk to the hand," and he walked away. And the guy was there for a few days, and Padre Pio would have nothing to do with him. He went back home. He was an American, of Italian extraction, and he was home. And all the time that he was home, he couldn't stop thinking about Padre Pio and what Padre Pio had said to him. So he really understood his dishonesty and his lack of integrity and all that, and his sinfulness. And so he eventually got on a plane and went back to San Giovanni Rotondo. And without announcing himself to Padre Pio, he wound up back in the confessional. Padre Pio knew it was. He said, "Finally." And the guy poured out all of his sins to Padre Pio, and he got absolution. And he eventually became one of Padre Pio's spiritual children. And that story was repeated over and over. People that Padre Pio just told off, you know, told them what they needed to hear, eventually, you know, loved him as a father. And many of them remained in San Giovanni Rotondo for the rest of their lives because they had obtained their freedom through him. He had delivered them from slavery. And so, yeah, it's difficult. We humble ourselves. It's not always easy to be honest, but we're being called to be free. Our calling into the confessional is a calling out of Egypt into the promised land, out of the darkness of our sins and our guilt into liberation from guilt, and from sin, and from slavery. But the next step is what our Lord is talking about here, which is after we've confessed our sins, we have to be sorry. And being sorry for our sins is a very concrete thing. Sometimes we might wonder if we're really sorry for our sins. We don't even really know. And some people can go into the confessional and find it so difficult that when they walk out of the confessional, they don't feel any more forgiven after than they did before. Or perhaps they don't have the benefit of some kind of emotional sorrow, no gift of tears, no profound insight or experience when they go in and come out of the confessional. And so they wonder if they're really sorry. But what our Lord is talking about here is true sorrow. And it's very discernible. It's very concrete. We're truly sorry when we have avoided the occasion of sin, when we have cut ourselves off from what leads us into sin. That's, for example, why a priest, if somebody comes into confession and confesses, say, pornography, and the priest says, "Well, do you still have the magazines or whatever it is?" And the person says yes. Well, that puts that person's contrition into question. I'm not saying that the priest could not make sure that he's disposed and give him absolution, but that's a problem that needs to be resolved. But if, for example, we had a problem like that, it could be anything that involved the occasion of sin, and we made sure that that was gone before we went to confession, we would be, you know, on the high road and the fast track to liberty. If we know what we know in our hearts what we need to do sometimes. And that doesn't mean that we can't go to confession in that first situation. Sometimes we're so weak and desperate in our sins that we just need to talk to somebody. That's okay too. But what I am saying is that real sorrow is concrete and discernible. It means that we're willing to avoid the occasion of sin. We're willing to make restitution if it involves sins against justice. It means that we have a firm resolution not to commit the sin again, and we know in our weakness that we can't always be certain that that's going to be the fact. But it does mean that at the time we confess our sins, that we are truly in our heart resolved to leave that sin and to leave whatever it is that leads us down that path. And that's what our Lord is talking about today when he talks about the things that we should cut off and pluck out in order to avoid hell. That's concrete, real, true, sincere sorrow for sin. We may not feel sorry at all. We may not feel sorry at all. But if we're willing to give up the occasion of sin and make restitution, if we have a firm resolution and we're going to take concrete, practical steps to overcome those sins, then we have true contrition. And if that's not where we're at right now in regard to certain things, especially if they're mortal sins, then we need to ask God for the grace. And if we're afraid to ask him for that grace, then we should ask him for freedom from that fear. God wants us to be free. And fear does not come from God. It is not God that makes us afraid. There is a real fear, a legitimate fear of hell. There's a legitimate fear of being separated from God. And when we're in the state of sin, that disturbs us. It causes anxiety within us. But that should immediately lead to grace, and ultimately to the grace of confession, you know, a restoration of peace. But if it has to do with fear of being embarrassed, fear of having to say a sin in confession, fear of losing something that we hold dear because we have to give up a particular sin or an occasion of sin or a person who leads us into sin, that's the devil that wants to keep us a slave. And it's deception, it's a lie. The devil is a liar from the beginning, and a murderer, a liar and a murderer. That's his life, that's his dedication. That's everything he is and that he does. He lies and he kills. And that kind of fear, which paralyzes us from entering into God's grace, is the work of Satan. It is satanic. It's Satan who weighs us down. It's Satan who makes us afraid. It's Satan who keeps us from confession and the sacraments. It's Satan who makes our religion burdensome, and we need to cast out the darkness. And the great exorcism of the church that's meant for everyone is confession. You know, we can have confidence in God's grace. We can have confidence in his goodness and in his mercy. It is always available to us. And even if it's not a question of mortal sin, especially for those of us who are Franciscans, whether friars or tertiaries or MIM members, our calling is to holiness. Our calling is to God's grace. Our calling is to a life of liberty and prayer. And so we need to dedicate ourselves to these dispositions and to the graces that God wants to give us, so that when we come to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and receive Jesus in the Eucharist, we receive the full benefit of his grace. We receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and one Holy Communion, one reception of our Lord into our souls and bodies, body, blood, soul, and divinity, would be enough to sanctify the whole world. The reason it doesn't always make us saints is because there are still things in our lives that are obstacles to God's grace, that are obstacles to His healing us, making us whole, and making us true, free children of God. So let us pray for the grace to be truly repentant of our sins and to be free. Because the goal isn't simply to be repentant. The goal isn't simply a negative of don't do this and don't do that and you know, don't go to hell. It's a matter of entering into the life of God and finding the liberty of the children of God. That is the great, that is the good news. That is the gospel. The good news is freedom. Good news is not servitude. Yes, we are by nature servants. One way or another, we are going to either serve God or serve ourselves or serve the devil. But it is only through God that we are truly free. It is only through Him that we have the liberty of the children of God. That is our destiny. That is our grace. And we should claim it for our own, because indeed we are the children of God.